You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it. Throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have built on in. The Giants have won the pennant.
It's been a while, Brad.
Yeah.
The last time you and I did a show was right before you came to San Francisco to watch the Giants lose 2 games.
Yeah. I remember that.
And then we did a show with Jarrett Seidler talking. It was right after the Devers trade had happened. Right. So since then, the Giants went from being tied or a little bit around this time, a little bit after being tied with the Dodgers for first place in the National League West to now being 7.5 games behind the Dodgers and in third place in the National League West. Those are your San Francisco Giants right now.
Yeah. They tied the Dodgers for first place the Friday night before I left on vacation for San Francisco. We left Sunday. So it was Friday night, and then Saturday that was the game. I think they got beat pretty bad Saturday.
Yes, they got Sunday, they were done like very early in that game.
Yeah, and Sunday rolled into town into San Francisco. We walked around, we went to 21st Amendment Brewing Company, which I love their beer. So I was like, oh, cool. It's only a couple blocks up from the stadium. So we did that. Giants were in San Francisco for Sunday night baseball, or Giants were in LA for Sunday night baseball. So we went back and went to the store, the dugout store, bought a new hat, not wearing it right now, but, and then we just kind of tooled around, went back to the room and rested. Thought, oh, let's take some chill. The game's about to start. So the game started, or was about to start, and I was falling asleep, and all of a sudden you texted me. And I go, what the hell is this? And you posted about the Devers trade. I go, what did I say? I wrote back, and I said, is this real?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, are we doing this? Is this real? So, and that's how my vacation kicked off in San Francisco, which was crazy.
And it feels like that was so long ago, but it wasn't really that long ago. It's just that the Giants have been not playing very good baseball. We saw the 2 games against the Guardians, and they lost 2 out of 3. They bounced back when the Red Sox came into town. And then all of last week, how do you get swept by the Marlins at home? That was rough. And then you go into Chicago and playing another terrible team and lose 2 out of 3. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just what it is right now. And we're going to try and figure out if we can find any inkling of what's possibly going on. Before we do that, I wanted to mention, just kind of shout out to our new viewers and listeners. Our YouTube channel has had, I think this past month has been the best month in growth for us, which has been fantastic to see. And obviously, more listeners on the audio side. So thank you to all of you folks and welcome to some of the new folks. Hopefully we give you something that you like and, you know, subscribe to that YouTube page as we keep growing. Like to see those numbers go up. And then also if you leave a review on Apple or Spotify or any of the other ways that you can leave reviews, we will read it on air. Now, if it's a bad one, I don't think we're going to read it unless we can make fun of you. We may make fun of you.
I like the bad ones because, you know, they're fun. A lot of times they're fun and they're unhinged. And I like it fun and unhinged sometimes.
But we will not read it out. We will read it on air and give you a shout out for that. Okay, so let's actually start with some news, because we'll get to the bad midway through this show. But there's some stuff that we can talk about that is newsworthy. And actually, this is kind of bad, but Fitzy is back up. Tyler Fitzgerald is back up with the big club. But the reason he's back up is because Casey Schmidt, who was actually hitting the baseball really well before he got hurt, he got hit on the hand, and they tried to do some therapy and tried to wait it out because they didn't think that there was any broken bones. But he's got a bone bruise that is making it hard for him to hold a bat. So they finally gave in and put him on the DL. I think they called it left hand inflammation or something like that. And Fitzgerald is back. Now, we know that Fitzgerald originally went down more as he just kind of needs to get his head straight here. Something's going on. He's not playing well. And so now he's back. I don't know if it was enough time for him to get his head straight. But hopefully, you know, we were mentioning when he went down, we're like, okay, they sent down our only fast guy on the entire team who can steal bases. Jung-Hoo Lee's fast, but he doesn't steal bags. And so now he's back, and I'm sure he's going to be in the mix. Christian Koss is playing really good baseball right now. So I'm sure we'll see a mix of those guys. And hopefully Casey is back quickly. And also, hopefully Chapman is back quickly. Did you hear the latest on Chapman?
Yeah, I got your text about that when I was driving home, and I checked it at a stoplight. Not supposed to do that in Reno, but I did.
I know. I saw that a California law too. Like if you just touch your phone, if it's not like you have to have it up on the dash.
Right.
And you can like do one swipe or one touch. But if you don't, and if you actually have it in your hand, even at a stoplight, they could give you a ticket. That's wild.
Yeah, that's been like that here for years. I don't think anybody enforces it. They'll get you if you're doing something else. If you run into a pole and you've got your phone in your hand, then they'll get you on that. But, you know, they're not going to just – I don't think a cop's going to sit next to a stoplight next to you and look and go like, hey, that guy's looking at his phone. I don't think they care that much here, but still. But, yeah, that's – that's some good news. I mean, the fact that he's actually Chapman's actually cleared to take batting practice.
Yeah, so that was the news. He's taken batting practice, and the hope is that he is back when they are home, and he's ready to play when they are home, which is next week.
Yeah, and they're not just, you know, sticking him out there and having him take some swings and say, well, let's see what happens after you take the swings. No, I mean, they're not gonna do that. This is a, you know, these are Major League Baseball players that make millions and millions of dollars. So when you see that he's taking batting practice, you know, well, it's probably not going to set him back. So that's good news. I'm excited about that, because if we can get Schmidt and Chapman back into this lineup, you've A, improved your defense, and B, improved your offense, really, because, I mean, I don't think I want to see Wisely getting picked off anymore, honestly.
What is that about? What,
I don't know, man.
Here's something that I was thinking about, because this is a big topic in our text, which is the base running. Like, why are these guys getting picked off so much? And we'll talk about this in a second, but Mike Kruko, he kind of went off on KMBR today. But do you think it's because they know that they're not getting that many base runners, so they're trying to be aggressive, and these teams are taking advantage of their over-aggressiveness?
I think that's exactly what it is. They're trying to do too much. I think Bob Melvin even said that as much in his presser after the game on Saturday. He pretty much said, look, we're out there just trying to make things happen, but when you get picked off, I mean, that was brutal on Saturday, because you've got Devers up the plate. You just get a balk. And you get runners to second and third with nobody out. And at this point, I don't even – yeah, it was a 0-0 game in the top of the sixth. And now you've got runners at second and third with nobody out. Devers strikes out. And then there's a back pick to third base and they get Wisely. Now you got a runner at second with two outs. And we're not good with a runner at third with one out, let alone a runner at second with two outs. So now you put yourself in a situation where you're probably not going to get a run home. And they did not. And the next inning, solo home run, it's 1-0. That's pretty much the ball game. So you can't, you got to be really, really fine if you're, if what you touted about this team as Buster Posey and Bob Melvin before the beginning of the season, that we are going to run the base as well. We are going to play great defense. We're going to have great pitching. We're going to win close ball games. If you're not doing one of those and you're not hitting, it really comes to light and things kind of get ugly. And the hitting, I mean, you know, that's something we're going to talk about in a little bit too, but the pitching, both relief pitching and starting pitching over the last like 18 games. I went back to the start of the Colorado series. Yes, I know there's three games in Colorado in there in my pitching numbers, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. But still, since then, it hasn't been that pretty. And when you're not scoring runs, everything is magnified. And it seems like every time the Giants score five runs, they give up seven.
I know. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I do have some offensive numbers because this is the last day of June, right?
This is last day of June. We go into July. And then our next show next week, we get to do a player of the month for June. And I think I have the hitters. So that's going to be fun.
so we'll talk about this in a second, but
yeah,
I looked at the monthly splits and they're kind of the same. They actually get on base a little bit more in June than they did in May. And if you look at the win-loss splits, essentially the Giants are a 500 team in their last like 50 some odd games. So they had the hot start. And they've basically been winning as much as they've been losing since then. And that's what it actually feels worse than that. So it's actually kind of cool that that's what it is. It feels like they're worse than a 500 ball club. But yeah, so that as I was looking, I was kind of wondering what do their win-loss numbers say? And it says like, oh, they're 500.
And the walk percentage, here's the weird thing. The Giants walk percentage in June so far is the highest in the majors at like 10.8%.
And they got hit like a bunch of times in June. It was really crazy.
So they've got base runners, but when you're swinging at changeups at your feet and you're not moving runners along, I mean, even simple little things, bunt, move runners along, hit the ball to the right side of the field when you have runners at first and second and try to stay out of a double play. Or if you have a runner at second, try to hit the ball to the right side of the field. None of that is happening. And when you're talking small ball and you're talking, we don't hit the ball out of the ballpark, we're going to win the pitching, defense, base running. That's another thing that's just, you've got to make things happen on the bases. So going back to the base running and I mean, and Tyler Fitzgerald, right before he was sent down, he got picked off in a key situation as well.
Right.
And he's one of our best base runners. So that's disheartening. I'm just hoping this Arizona series, I mean, you got four games in Arizona, which is weird. You have four night games in Arizona. Then you go to, I want to say Oakland, West Sacramento to play three games, and all of those are night games, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because they don't play day games in Oakland anymore, or in West Sacramento anymore, because it's 150 degrees there. So
yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, of course we want more bats on this team, and if the Giants make another trade before the trade deadline, you're like, okay, what bat can we get? And like, you know, there's I'm just looking at the CBSSports.com list from RJ Anderson from earlier today, and all of the top players, at least on the offensive side, are like corner players, like Ryan McMahon, third baseman, Suarez, third baseman, Nolan Arenado, third baseman, Ryan O'Hearn, first baseman, Josh Naylor, first baseman. And I was just looking down the thing going like, there's no speed on any of these lists. Like, how could the Giants get better? You know, maybe a little bit. It's like, okay, where's the speed? And there's just no speed on this list. So I don't know. You know, you're looking at sluggers and not a lot of athleticism or speed. And that's kind of, you know, they kind of have a lot of that right now.
I mean, Luis Robert Jr. steals bases, but he's, you know, 20, he's got 22 this season so far, playing 73 games. That's a nice clip, getting 22. I mean, that's more than anybody we've got on the team, really.
Yeah, and that's also with him hitting at like a career low rate for him.
That's the thing, is you're going to get a guy who's hitting 185. Fans are going to freak out. But again, if you get a guy like him and you stick him in this lineup, And you put him around guys like Ramos and Devers and Adames, I say Chapman, because those guys are going to hit. This is not, unless their arms have fallen off, these guys are going to hit at some point during the season. Will they all hit at the same time? No, but what we've got is nobody hitting at the same time. And that's just the absolute killer. You leave Chicago against the White Sox, having lost 2 out of 3. And like you said, swept by the Marlins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, things are, I don't know, when the submarines dive and it goes, that's all I hear when I watch Giants games right now. I mean, this team is free diving right now. And it's just kind of hard to watch, but you know, going to warm air of Arizona.
Yeah.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You haven't had a chance to talk about him yet, so what are your thoughts on Devers' fit so far?
Well, you and I we had the pleasure of being live at the game, his very first game in San Francisco in a Giants uniform. It was the City Connect uniforms, and then we got to see him.
Jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got to see him the very next night in the real Giants uniforms, which is cool. So we got to see his first hit as a Giant, a double in the gap. I think if he'd been there for a while, he probably would have tried to stretch that to a triple, but I think he saw it go out there and he was like, oh, it's a double, it's in the gap. But I don't think he quite realized that, hey, that's way out there. That's what is that, 419 out there or something like that? But yeah, just having him in the lineup, I know things haven't come around quite yet. His OPS is like 700 with the Giants so far.
Yeah.
But again, nobody else around you is hitting is contagious. If Devers catches fire, I think a lot of other guys are going to catch fire. I think this is a fantastic move. Hate to lose Harrison, but with as much starting pitching as you have and as much starting pitching you have in the minors, with Carson Seymour coming up yesterday, and then you've got Ragsdale, and then you've got Wisenhunt.
Wisenhunt selected to the futures game.
Exactly. So you've got guys. So you could afford to give up Harrison. You get rid of the Jordan Hicks deal, which is great. In the making. And so to get a guy like Devers, I don't really care about the money. I know a lot was made of the money right away, that we had to eat his entire contract. But because you eat the entire contract, you don't have to give up much more talent than we did give up, which mm-hmm. is great.
I do kind of wonder now the Hicks thing, you're giving up Hicks because you're giving them some money back, but sure. Harrison is the, like, that's probably really all that Boston wanted was Harrison.
I think so. And they immediately put him in AAA. I'm sure that made the Red Sox fans like super happy, but yeah. And I think in the long run, this is going to be a fantastic deal for the Giants. I think in the next 3 or 4 years, this is going to be a great deal. What's it going to be like that? I don't really know. But you know, we're going to see as time goes on. And is again, back ends of deals are always big and ugly. It doesn't matter who it is. The back end of Willie Adames' deal is not going to be pretty. The back end of Carlos Correa's deal, if we would have made that deal, that was going to be ugly. Bryce Harper's deal probably is going to be ugly at the back end of it. He's going to be, what, 41, I think, Bryce Harper, when he's done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Devers deal, I think when you look at it in the long run, you're going to look at it as a bargain in the next few years. The only reason I'm going to have a problem with it is if it hinders us from making any other deals in this offseason to bring in a big name pitcher, to spend money. If we're going to stand pat for the next 2 or 3 years, that's, I think, where it's going to hurt you. But I don't think Buster Posey makes this deal thinking this is it. And now we have, you know, we got Adames and Devers, Chapman, Jung-Hoo Lee. We signed all of those guys big money. We don't have to pay, Ramos, Bailey, all these guys. We don't have to pay them for a while. So yeah, I mean, you're going to probably need a right fielder next year because, Yaz is going to be a free agent, and are they going to re-sign an older Yaz? I mean, Yaz still has a good WAR. So adding Devers to this lineup this year, I think it was a fantastic idea. It hasn't come to fruition yet, but again, nobody's hitting right now. So you can't say everybody's hitting. If Devers was just hitting, we'd win some ball games. Now you need more than that right now. So I'm still reserved kind of on, you know, how it's going to look in a couple of months. But right now I still think it's a really good deal.
So far with the Giants, he is hitting .217. He's got a couple jacks, 5 RBI. He's also walked 8 times versus 17 strikeouts. And I think this is what Giants fans are going to have to deal with, is just he's going to strike out a lot. Like, he struck out 147 times last year, and he is on pace this year of getting pretty close to that. But the one thing about this year is his walk percentage is way up. He is within 3 walks of tying his career high in walks, which was last year. So he's got a chance to walk close to 100 times this year. And, you know, the power is going to be there, as you can tell. He may not have as many home runs just because of the way the Giants park plays. And I think, you know, when you do these park things and you go, oh, you know, if he hit in this park, this is how many home runs he would hit. I wonder if they're projecting for weather, because there are some balls that have been hit into left and left center that the wind just absolutely destroys and knocks down.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see how that works out for him. And,
you know, the thing too is that he gets to play in Arizona. He gets to play in Los Angeles, which,
Colorado.
You know, Los Angeles can play like a very big ballpark. So he'll get to play there. He'll get to play San Diego when they put in that gigantic scoreboard in center field. That stopped a lot of the wind from knocking balls down. So that's playing like a bigger ballpark. Colorado, he'll get to play a lot of games in Colorado. So I think those will kind of boost up his numbers a little bit. Cincinnati, we already played in Cincinnati, so we're not going back there this year, but yeah.
So we will, I think he's just an addition to the lineup, and he's going to be really good for that lineup, but he can't be the only one. He can't be the only threat, because we know what happens when you only got one threat, is they're going to be really selective and pitch around the guy. Mm-hmm. So other players will have to step up. And I think when Chapman comes back, that is when we'll get the full look at what this lineup looks like. And it's probably going to be Schmidt, I'm guessing, as well, when he's healthy. So he will be in the lineup a lot more at second base. But it is very clear to me that they need another guy. It's just,
you know,
you can only throw this lineup out there every day and hope for the best. And they're like, no, we're showing you exactly what we are. This is who we are. You know, love us or leave us. And I think they do need one more. I don't know who that player is because we just went through some of those players, and there's some good players there, but not necessarily the type of players the Giants would probably need. They need table setters, man, and they just don't have any.
It may end up not being, you know, a big name trade at the trade deadline or anything like that. It could be a waiver wire. It could be a guy that they're taking a flyer on. I mean, Giants just signed Austin Barnes, 35-year-old former Dodger catcher, to a minor league deal. Not saying that he's the guy, but I'm just saying, you know, there's going to be some times where all of a sudden a right fielder is run through the waiver wire, and the Giants are like, you know what? I think we can platoon him with Yaz in right field and maybe get some extra, extra guys on base and do some different things. And when you look at it too, you still have Matos. If Matos could come around in the minors, that's another guy that you could add into the mix. So I think there are a lot of guys that can be put into the mix, but I don't know. There's not going to be any names bigger than Devers. I think that was it for this season in terms of gigantic names, but I could be wrong. There could be a guy on the trading block that we just don't know about yet. And all of a sudden the Giants come with a sweet deal to somebody and they take it.
Outside of Bryce Eldridge, they do not have anyone currently as high as AAA in the top 13 of their prospects. And I'm using the MLB.com list. You got to go all the way down to 14 with Wade Mechler, who is in AAA. Who is somebody who's on this list who could probably come up and help.
He's on the 40 man. So, I mean, that makes it easy. Man,
yeah. And, but you know, what has he done in his season in AAA so far? Well, he has done, he's hitting .282, 359 slugging, .388 on base percentage. So
yeah, and he's not going to be your home run guy. He's going to be the guy who slaps the ball around, gets on base. I mean, you know, for a couple of seasons ago, he was, what was it, single A, double A, triple A, the guy ran through the minors hitting between like .380 and .410. You know, he's a base hit machine, so that's what you're talking about, table setter. So is he being looked at as a possibility of platooning with Yaz in right field, or being the right fielder? But again, hard to take Yaz out of the lineup. Yaz's war, when you look at Yaz and his war for, you know, top, you probably have, what, 40 good outfielders in all of Major League Baseball. And he's probably in the top 40, I would say, when you look at war. I didn't run the numbers today, but I think the last time I checked, he was in the top 40. So it's kind of hard to take him out of the lineup, but if you get him in certain situations, you never want to see him face a lefty. That's the one thing. but if he faces a righty, then we're in a good situation. So,
all right, let's talk about this terrible week of baseball. So yeah. we mentioned the record, you know, losing to the Marlins and the White Sox. These were gimme games for the Giants. They had just, you know, they had just gone through the Dodgers, and then Guardians, decent team, Red Sox, you know, sort of up and down. But it was like, oh, we just got to get to the Marlins and the White Sox, and we are home free. And they were not home free. And now they sit only, I think they're only like a couple games ahead of the Diamondbacks, who they play tonight.
Yeah.
Before, you know, for just to kick off that series you were talking about. So if they don't play well here, they could end up in fourth place by the end of this series with the Diamondbacks. So let's hope that they kind of get their act together. But I wanted to take a look at the batting splits because it just felt like June was like one of the worst months ever. And what it was, it was like the same month. It was like the same month that they've had. They just had three of the same months. So in June, they hit a team. And like I said, there's one more game in June. 224, with a 319 on base and a 362 slugging. And that compares very well to their April, March, which was 227, 307 on base. So they're slightly better there, and 376 slugging. So they're slightly down there. And then in May, they hit a little better, but their on base was still lower and their slugging was also a little bit higher. But if you want to compare OPSs in April, March, 683, in May, 686, and in June, 681. So they are the same team every month so far.
They are.
And like you said, they had 105 walks in June, which is up from May, and they were hit by pitch 16 times.
Golly.
Sacrifice bunts, they are up this month, and also sacrifice flies, they are up. So going back to what you were saying, you know, kind of doing the right thing, the stats would say that they were doing the right thing a little bit more, but I don't have a statistic that says how many times were they picked off of bases.
Yeah.
And
wasted opportunities.
You know? Right. And, you know, they had 14 steals and they were caught stealing four times. And that is in April, March, they had 21 steals and they were caught seven times. They didn't run at all in May. They were almost caught as many times stealing as they had stolen bases in May. Jeez. So I don't know exactly any takeaways from this data. The data would also say that maybe they were slightly less lucky, which probably describes their batting average being lower than the previous month. When you look at the BABIP, it's a little bit lower than it was than the other two months. But yeah, they're basically, for 3 months, they're telling Buster like, hey, this is what you're going to get. And I would be very surprised if things changed. Now, Devers, if he, like you said, if he gets hot and all of a sudden it gets contagious and the team just starts hitting better, I'm not feeling that just based on what I'm seeing. Though some of this last week was pretty unlucky, like bases loaded and Adames hits what he thinks is a bomb and it just gets knocked down in left center. And it's just a sacrifice fly. And then there's a base hit, and then Jung Hoo Lee's thrown out of the plate.
Yeah.
What did you think of both of those? There was a Devers one this week, and then there was that Jung Hoo one. Matt Williams he himself was trying to create some runs. I probably would have disagreed with the Devers one, except I don't think the Giants got a hit for the rest of the game.
Right.
The Jung Hoo one I thought was a good call, and Jung Hoo was, you know, he tried to slide around the tag and he almost did, but it was a really good play to get him.
Yeah, it was a good throw. And then there was the other one too, the sacrifice fly against Florida, where Matt Williams didn't send him. And the Giants had scratched and clawed and fought back to make it a 5-5 ball game. And then you got Jung Hoo Lee at third and the ball's hit semi shallow to left field. But I think you send Jung Hoo Lee on that one and see if he can make a play. Because, again, you've seen anytime you have speed and anytime you test somebody, it becomes a different throw. The adrenaline, everything else just kind of kicks in. So, you know, and the throw that the left fielder made was a good throw. It was up the line just a touch. But again, if you've got Jung Hoo Lee running, maybe it's a worse throw and and he's in there, no problem. So I wish he would have sent him there. But yeah, the other two, I don't know. It's frustrating. Everything, any of those plays are under a microscope, right? Mm-hmm. If you're scoring six runs a game, we're going, oh, well, wasted run here and there. Pickoff. Oh, well, you know, wasted run here and there. The pickoff the other night that happened with Wisely at first base, Giants were up 3-1. He gets picked off. It's the eighth inning. You go, well, that's fine. We still have a 2-run lead. I think we'll be okay. I think Camilo Duvall gave up a run and we ended up winning 3-2. But still, it's one of those situations where it's a little bit finer when you have these close games and the Giants are playing the most 1-run ball games, in the majors. So it's hard to say. It's just, he's not going to be, if somebody's thrown out at the plate right now, it's not going to be a good decision. I don't care what the score is, but right now it's not going to be a good decision because we are trying to get runs any way possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we were at a game where Eliot Ramos threw a guy out at the plate. And on a similar situation, Matt Williams held Jung Hoo Lee at third,
right,
in a game where runs were scarce. So lots of, you know, when you don't score runs, those things are magnified, these situations.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Kruko, he went on KMBR. And I just wanted to get your thought. Now, I'm just using Joaquin Ruiz's NBC Sports Bay Area aggregation. So Mike Kruko told Brian Murphy and FP, he said, when you become soloists because you're trying to turn around the storm by yourself, it lingers, but it affects the other part of your game. This team is losing because it's got its head so far up its rear end right now. The base paths are ridiculous. The mistakes they're making. We're seeing pitchers balk in the middle of the motion. Not pitchers, Mike. One pitcher. His name is Ryan Walker.
Right.
What is that all about?
It's what he does, man.
Call him by his name, Mike. So then he goes, it's just an epidemic. Their minds are not on the game. They're thinking about their at-bats when they're in the field. When they come out of the bullpen, they're putting so much pressure on themselves to try and get this thing done. They're trying to be perfect. They're throwing their strikeout pitches first in the at-bat. They're falling behind in the count. It's just all crumbling. It's all crumbling down. And then he said they have to pull their brain and they've got to divide it properly among the things that happen in this game. They have to concentrate on hitting, and when you're not at bat, you have to concentrate on defense, and when you're on the bases, you have to concentrate on the bases. So Mike Kruko kind of trying, man, to light a fire under these guys.
That's old ball player talk right there.
Yeah,
head so far. Yeah, they're playing with clinched booties right now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it. When you're playing one-run ball games and you're losing all those one-run ball games and you're not scoring runs and you're losing 1-0, hasn't Verlander been involved in Robbie Ray has been involved in 3 1-0 losses. I mean, everybody's playing clinched right now. And when you play clinched and you play tight, that's when bad things happen. When you start looking at, hey, we're only 6 games over 500. When at one point we were 10 games over 500 and 12 games over 500 and tied with the Dodgers for first place. They're just not playing loose and fun right now. And then you could say, well, how could they?
It's serious stuff, man.
Yeah, but I think you got to come down to it and just say, it's a game. This is a game. I mean, you know, go out there, have a good time. Play loose, play fun, play fast, and turn it around. That's the only way you're going to turn it around. If you continue to play tight, clenched, it's not going to turn around. It's going to get uglier and uglier.
Yeah, him saying stuff like, you know, they're trying to do too much or whatever. Like Willy Adames, you know, gets hit a gimme line drive, and he's basically trying to turn the double play on it before the ball even gets in his glove, and it gets by him, and then a run scores, and it's stuff like that. Where if they were playing a little bit more loose and stuff, they wouldn't make mistakes like that.
Loose, fun, and fundamental too. You can't leave that out. That's the key. If you're not playing fundamental baseball, you're not having fun. I mean, hell, the first three letters are right there. Fun, fundamental. But if you're not playing fundamental baseball and you're playing tight, that's not just a really, really bad combination.
All right, let's get back to a little bit of positive. And who is our player of the week this week?
Yeah, player of the week is a guy we talk about and a guy I didn't really expect until I looked at the numbers. But the player of the week this week is going to be Christian Koss. Chris Cross, right?
Chris Koss. want to make you jump.
if you look at his numbers compared to everybody else, he really had such a nice week. He hit .429 on the week. He's had a lot of playing opportunity. Once Schmidt went down, he got a lot of playing opportunity. He even played some third base, has played a little bit of second base. But he hit .429 this week, a slugging of .667. He's got a home run, 5 runs scored, 3 ribs, a stolen base. K percentage of just 13%. So he's making some contact, putting the ball in play, and a 202 WRC plus. So he is absolutely creating runs when he's at the plate. So congratulations to Christian Kos. He is our player of the week.
Who'd have thunk it? The guy who hits the wall scraper home run.
Yeah, yeah.
He put as much possible juice into that wall scraper as he could generate.
Absolutely.
It's funny because he's so thin. He's just like a stick.
Yeah. But he looks like he's having a good time.
Yeah, he's playing to his maximum capacity, it feels like.
Playing to his maximum capacity, and he's playing to stay. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing you got to do. The first time around for Elliot Ramos, you could see the tightness. You could see the difference between Elliot Ramos now and Elliot Ramos the very first time he was ever called up to the majors. Back then, he was tight. He was he really, really wanted to stay in San Francisco, but there was a lot of tightness around his game. With Kos, he already got sent down, came back up. He's like, hey, man, I'm just, you know, I want to stick around. I'm just going to play some game, play how I play. I'm going to, you know, create some runs, get on base, play some defense, play wherever you want me to play. And anytime they interview that guy, he's smiling and having a good time. And that's how Adamas was at the beginning of the season. It slowed down a little bit, but if they can get back to that, yeah, even in a loss, you can still get back to having a good time and playing some loose baseball. So Christian Kos, hopefully all of that rubs off on everybody else the rest of this this coming week, as you are the player of the week.
By the way, the Padres might have already played and lost today. Is that possible?
It's 6:20 p.m. So yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, they lost to the Phillies 4-0. So the Giants are back in a tie for second with the Padres. Just wanted to get that straight.
I think some of those East Coast games start at 3:40 p.m. our time. So those are pretty quick ones.
All right, so Diamondbacks, Giants play 4 against the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are 41-42. So they're actually 3.5 games behind the Giants. So they'd have to sweep the Giants to jump over the Giants. Let's hope that does not happen. They have also lost 4 in a row, so things are not happy in Diamondback land. They score runs, though. What they also do is they give up a lot of runs. So if maybe a possible offensive resurgence happens, it could happen in these next 4 games. Giants pitching is going to have to be there. They only have a +2 in the run differential. And they're also kind of a .500 team at home. So hopefully the Giants can take advantage of that. And then the A's, they have 3 against the A's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The A's had actually played okay earlier in the season, but now they are a really bad baseball team. 34-52, minus 142 run differential, which is actually worse than the White Sox. And it is, in fact, the second worst in the league to the Colorado Rockies. Jeez. So they don't have the worst record. They have the third worst record in baseball, but they have the second worst run differential. So there's this really a no excuses kind of week. Not to say that you should just blow the doors off of the Diamondbacks. We know the Diamondbacks have talented ball players.
Sure.
But you should at least split, and then you should go into Sacramento, where there is no home field advantage, and really take care of business in Oakland. Do I have the faith that that is going to happen? Not necessarily. The A's are actually a worse home team than they are an away team. And they are 13-34 against teams that are better than .500, which I think is the very worst in the league, actually, except for the Rockies. The Rockies are 7-46. So, you know, the Giants have an opportunity to take advantage of this week. And hopefully they will. Now, I think we may have forgotten to do this, but did you have some relief numbers that you wanted to bring up before we get out of here?
Yeah, because we were talking about how it wasn't necessarily just the offense is slumping. Pitching is also slumping a bit. And I know we talk about all season long how the strength of this Giants team is their starting pitching and their relief pitching. And that was the story for the first part of the season. the last 18 games since they went to Colorado, and again, we're talking about Colorado. You got three games in Colorado that's going to blow up some numbers. But since the beginning of that trip to Colorado, the Giants' bullpen ERA as well as starting ERA have kind of ballooned a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, going into that series, the Giants' bullpen ERA was first in the majors at 2.91. They're actually still first in the majors, believe it or not.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it's because they had such a big gap between them and the next team. So they were at 2.91 before that series. Then since then, in the last 18 games, 4.91 ERA, which is 19th in the majors. And then I kind of broke it down individually. And you look at guys, and I took six relievers. I went Rodriguez, Duvall, Miller, Rogers, Walker, Bivens. Those are the guys who get used pretty much the most. Rodriguez changed a little bit, you know, 0.61 ERA with a 1.01 FIP. Before that, and then after, 1.35 ERA and a 2.49 FIP. So the FIP shot up a little bit. So you're seeing a little bit of a correction in the ERA, but not much. He's still pitching pretty lights out. Duvall, huge change, 1.50 ERA and now an 8.10 ERA since then in the 18 games. His FIP went from 2.49 to 5.34. So the stuff he's given up is stuff he should be giving up, and they are scoring runs off of it. Miller also has had a high FIP all season long.
Mm-hmm.
His ERA before that trip, 1.25. Now it's 2.45, but his FIP was 4.24 and now it's 3.63. So I'd almost say even expect a little more correction on Miller as his ERA might go up a little bit. And I think that's, I don't know if you agree, but I think that's got a lot to do with the fact that him and Lucchesi are the lefties.
Yeah.
But Miller is the high leverage lefty and he's getting used a lot. So if you're looking at a bullpen addition, you're going to be looking at a left-handed arm. And back in the day, you know, the Giants and everybody coveted left-handed arms.
Yeah.
So Javi Lopez was our big get back in the day. And so if the Giants can get a guy like Javi Lopez to be another high leverage lefty from a team that's kind of faltering, I think that's going to help this bullpen a ton. Tyler Rogers, 1.48 ERA to a 2.00. His FIP actually went down. He's a guy that I'd love to see as an all-star this year. I'd love to see him face some of the big bats in the middle of the American League lineup. I mean, that would be so fun, and I think the fans would really enjoy that. Make a lot of, you know, big name American League hitters make some weak contact. Everybody's favorite in our chat, Ryan Walker. He had a 4.74 ERA before Colorado. Since Colorado, 4.32. Nothing has changed. FIP is exactly the same almost, 3.21, 3.69. He's just not having a good season. He's just not. Everything he does, he pulls to the glove side. He's just, everything is outside to right-handed hitters. Everything is inside the left-handed hitters. He's pulling things, and it's tough to watch. And Bivens, who, you know, I heard a little rumbling today that he might be used in some more high leverage situations. I know, but when you look at the numbers, he's solid.
Mm-hmm.
And not much has changed. He's a 3.07 before Colorado, 3.97 since. FIP has gone from 3.87 to 3.26. So, I mean, he's a solid guy. He's not somebody, I mean, if you're going to say high leverage situation, do I want to see Ryan Walker or do I want to see Bivens right now? What do you say?
Oh my God. I don't want to see Ryan Walker at all. That's the thing. I would be
and
fine.
And he's on the roster and then he's not going anywhere. So that's the problem.
I know. I'm expecting a phantom injury to happen because the balk was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Did he just stumble? I caught the tail end of it. I heard balk. I turn and look at the screen and I see kind of him just start the rotation and just almost stumble, but not really.
Slipped or something.
I don't know.
But yeah, that was really bad. Okay, let's do our segment that I've just created this segment for so that we can post on some socials like Instagram and YouTube Shorts, and it is called The Quickest Take. Now I have two for Brad that we'll post on our socials over the next few days. This first one, actually, Brad's the one who mentioned to me, is Bob Melvin on the hot seat?
Is he? That's, I mean, that's such a question. Everybody, I've seen it everywhere today. And that's why I thought, I want to talk about it real quick. I just want to look at some things with Bob Melvin. You got to remember, Bochy started slow. And who played for Bochy? Buster Posey, right? So, and he was in the minors during this time, 2008 or 2007, 2008. Actually, when was Posey drafted? Eight or nine?
I don't know. He came up in 10. He played in nine during the September call-ups. I actually don't remember. I can look it up while you talk.
Yeah, it's been so long. But Bochy started slow. 2008, 2007 and 8, he was 71 and 91 and then 72 and 90. Given the chance, 2009, they gave him some pieces. The young pitchers were coming up. You had Bumgarner, you had Kane, you had Lincecum at that time. And things started to really turn around in 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. We know what happened. Bob Melvin having, and we talked about it, you know, Matt Williams at third base as the third base coach. You can't make a change there, because if you make a change, it's going to be a firing. And I don't think that's going to happen unless, unless Melvin gets fired. So you can't really make a change there. Bob Melvin is making a lot of, in my opinion, lineup experiments right now. And it's kind of hard to watch, because if you look at the lineup for today, you've got, let me hop over to game day. You got Cost leading off today. You got Devers, Ramos, Dom Smith. Then you got your big name signing, Adamas batting fifth, Jung-Hoo Lee batting sixth. Then you got Fitzgerald, Bailey, and Daniel Johnson. So for me as a fan, it's a little bit tough to see, and I get why Adamas and Jung-Hoo Lee were pushed down the lineup, but it almost feels like they're going to get it one less at bat maybe per game. So if you're trying to pull your big name, big money players out of a slump, I don't know if fifth and sixth are the spots for that.
I don't know about that either.
You know, and because especially if they have the track record of hitting, Jung-Hoo Lee does not. We know that, but we know Willy Adamas does, and we know he's a clutch guy. So I'd like to see him. I'd like to see those guys two and three again, maybe even one and two.
Yeah.
Just to get some more at bats and more situations where they have a chance to come at him, instead of low leverage situations early in a ball game where they're essentially leading off the second inning. So that doesn't sit well with me. And then watching some of the at bats, it is a bit frustrating at times to see our guys, our pitchers throwing changeups down in the zone, and other teams, batters like the White Sox and the Marlins, kind of know these things are coming. It's like they've watched enough film to know exactly what this changeup shape looks like. If it starts at this plane, where does it end? What am I looking for? How can I recreate the swing on that pitch? And then you get our guys up and you see changeups that drop off the table. And we take swings, and it almost feels like, and I'm not saying it, but I'm not saying anything bad, but it almost feels like they didn't know that pitcher had the changeup in his arsenal. So that's where it's frustrating to watch a game right now and say, it almost looks like our guys are up there clueless. And again, this is just a fan perspective. I'm not saying that's what the case is, but it just feels that way as a fan watching the game. And I know way more goes. This is a very prepared team.
Yeah.
I know Bob Melvin and his staff are a very prepared group of guys. So I'm not too terribly worried about it, but those are the things that make me feel like he's on the hot seat. But Bochy having a first good couple of two seasons, or bad first couple of seasons and then turning around makes me say Buster Posey's seen this before. And it's Buster Posey's first year doing this. So he's going to get him the parts and the pieces. And I think he wants him to be that guy. So I think I'm taking him off the hot seat.
All right. I'm not saying anything about anything because I don't know for sure. I just know what the contracts line up as. Bruce Bochy's deal is up at the end of this year. Mm. Bob Melvin, his deal expires at the end of this year, but the club has an option for next year.
Right.
I think if Buster Posey had his way, I think I know who he'd want to be the manager of this team. Again, yeah. I'm not trying to create rumors. I was just trying to line up some things because the only person that I think would make a difference is somebody like a Bruce Bochy. And otherwise, right. I think Melvin is at least going to get through the end of the year because you can decide. You don't have him for another year. You're deciding on whether you want him for the next year. So that's just something to think about. I think Melvin is here throughout the rest of the year. Okay, last one, and we'll get this one done quickly. Barry Bonds is going to get a statue. What is the pose that statue has that is going to sit out in front of the park?
It's got to be either the follow through of the swing, mm-hmm. right? Very iconic.
Yes.
The stance is iconic, but the follow through of the swing or the kissing and the pointing
up to the sky. I think that's probably it.
Yeah.
That's probably it. But I do like, I like the stance and I like the follow through. Both of those are fantastic. Yeah. I don't think we're getting snatch catch Barry.
No,
no,
please. Yeah, we don't need that.
There's three possibilities that I think would all be awesome. So we'll see what happens when he does get that statue. Did they say when it was going to happen? They just said it was going to happen, right?
Yeah, they just said it's in the works. I don't think they really gave a year. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. I was got excited, sent it to you, and I forgot to go back and read it. But, yeah, I'm not very good at that.
All good. All good. All right. That is going to be it from here. When Brad and I are back next week, cross your fingers that Matt Chapman is able to play and also that Casey Schmidt is able to play. And then you're kind of full squad there. You don't really have too many excuses left. And then you'll be able to analyze what you got.
Devers might be at first by then too. You never know.
That is true as well. So, all right. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365. And it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.